And they said, could we talk? And I said, I don't know. I just said that you have to do it. And so they talked to each other and they worked it out. And it's a symbol or something of so much of our relationships, because I want to get to here and he wants to get to here, and we're going to go through each other, and how do we do it? And so the interesting thing is, there isn't just one way. You know, I've seen somebody crouch down, the other one jump over, and they go sideways like this, you know. So however you work it out, but you have to work it out. I did see, when I worked with some high school students, and I try this once in a while, because I do get different reactions. I'll try to talk loud, Joanne, okay? I saw one boy just push the girl aside and walked.
Oh.
If that wasn't interesting.
Don't marry him.
If that if that didn't give us an interesting discussion, I tell you, especially the girls had something to say about that. They talked about it. And so often I see that they just look at each other like, well, I'm going to guess what it is you want. Hey, face to face, and they talked about it. Maybe that's the only thing you'll remember about this morning. No, but that's all right, because there's a powerful message there. After yesterday, and I can't sin against what I believe, and I believe that because I say something to you, you understand. And I said, don't have any expectations, because I don't have any. Well, I talked to someone later on, our scientist, who said, I'm not coming back to your class, he said, because we weren't listening, we were doing a lot of talking. And we had an interesting discussion out here for about 20 minutes. And I was really trying to listen to him, and he's, well, I might be back on Wednesday. What that told me is that he was the one who came to talk to me, and I better take that seriously. So I'm doing a little backtracking. For those of you who are new, this is a series of talking about listening. I'm going to explain that a little bit better, differently today. Starting out with, we have to know who we are. We have to know who we are. So we start with me, and then we have to deal with others, so I went to others, and then we have to deal with a world that's changing and moving, and we better be able to sort out ideas and events. And how do we do this? Where do we get help for doing this? And then, since we're going to the future, we better look at it and say, what's coming at us? And am I going to be smart enough to deal with what's going on in the future? I don't want the politicians to decide. I want to be able to sort out for myself. And then the last one, probably, well, because the most important is listening to God. God is in all of this, as you well know. I did it for the process of teaching. So let me tell you what I went through and decided I need to backtrack a little bit. Good teaching has to be parabolic. We should learn that from Christ. That's the way he taught. And I learned from my pastor brother that parable comes from two words, meaning throw alongside. And that's exactly what Christ did. He talked to people about what they knew. So what do you talk about? Planting, fishing, and they understood that. And he turned it into, and if they were listening, they'd say, oh, I know what you mean. Teaching has to be something that we already know, and we throw something right alongside what we already know. That's parabolic teaching. What I'm doing this week is not, I suppose if this were a class of listening, we'd sit here and think. And then somebody would say something profound, and then I'd say, oh, yeah. So there's a lot of talking that's going to be going on this week. What I see myself as doing is throwing alongside of you some ideas. I can't do any more than that. A teacher can't do any more than that. What you do is you go out and you say, I know what I'm going to do with it, and you're going to do something different than you are because your interests and your values are different. But if the idea is a good one, you're all going to use it. Okay? Stop me, please, and disagree with me or ask a question as I go along. I want to be sure that I'm not up here with an idea that means something only to me. It's got to mean something to you. Okay. I start out with know who I am. Because I have to know where I'm going. And that means I have to know what my talents are. I talked a little bit about that yesterday. What did you want to be when you were a kid? We had somebody here who wanted to be a writer. That fascinated me. She knew early on that she wanted to write. What are your talents? Pay attention. Don't let somebody else tell you. Teachers are not good at sorting out for you what your talents are. Spend your lifetime finding what your talents are. But how are you going to find out? You have to listen. What is it you'd really like to do? And what you really like to do is what you're going to be good at. So know what your talents are, what your dreams are. Don't let them go. They're very fragile, but very important. What your values are. We'll talk a little bit about that in a minute. What your goals are. And what is your pattern? What is your pattern for learning and for doing things? School puts us into a rigid pattern, and it's like, this is the way you're supposed to go. And we have a few mavericks who say, oh no, you know, that's not the way I learn. And we try to quiet them down because they don't fit the pattern. We each have a different pattern. Listen to it. It's what makes you unique. I had to sort me out because I'm not you. No way do I want to be, have to be, because then I'm trying to be somebody that I'm not. Why I am always angry is that the system really tries to make us all be the same. Here's what you're supposed to think. Well, we'll get into that on Wednesday. Okay, so I know who I am. But I live in a world with you and you and you. And that means I better know who you are. I'm going to get along with you. Some of you I'll want to get very close to. Others, no. We're not going to get close to everybody. But we have to get along. And that means I better start listening to you and find out what your patterns and interests are. I need to understand you, appreciate you, and include you. We're an isolated society. We exclude by age or gender or style or whatever. See? Who do you hang around with? People who are like you, do you? I wonder what I meant by this. Well, maybe I'll come back to that. What I decided and what I tell my kids is surround yourself with people who are curious and happy and successful, whatever that means, see. And my kids have reminded me that I've told them that, and they said, boy, it's a good idea. Surround yourself with people who are, and look, it's a very selfish thing to do, but this is the only life I have to live, and I'm going to live it with people that do something for me, and I hope I do the same for others. Okay. Because you see, when I say I'm going to surround myself with people who are dot, 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 you know, you're going to say, but I want people who are, yeah. And you have to sort that out for yourself. Who is it you want to be surrounded by? Because then you're going to have to work out this whole process of how are you going to get where you want to go in a relationship, okay? And then I included ideas and events because my world has to make sense. I think about Bosnia, I think about things that are going on in Washington, and it doesn't make sense to me. So I really struggle with it. And there's things that don't make sense. But get in the mindset of saying it has to make sense. If it doesn't, throw it out. Because if you've got your own good sorting process, there's a reason why you're uneasy. There's a reason why an idea says inside your body, this isn't right. This isn't right. So when you learn to trust and listen to yourself, then when ideas come at you and hit you in a certain way, your process is going. Only if I make meaning of ideas and events can I be a part of it. Otherwise, I'm a spectator. Future, sure, we live now. I better enjoy this moment right now with you, and I do. My favorite thing to do. But boy, I better know what the future is coming at me. I better understand it, because it's my future. And if I'm going to be a part of it, I better understand it. So I wanted to throw this in because it's to explain that I'm going to throw some ideas at you, and if you go out of here and totally forget it, that's fine. But if you go out of here and say, I've got to think about that, you know, that's part of your internalizing, okay? If you don't ask me questions, I just keep on going.
When you talked about them listening to the show of voice inside yourself, you know, they were the story of a little boy who was flying a kite, and the kite was way, way up in the air, and the clouds came over, and you couldn't see the kite. And so this old man came by, and he said, well, kid, what are you doing? And he said, I'm flying a kite. And the man looks up, and he said, how do you know you're flying a kite? I don't see a kite up there. And he said, but I can feel the tug. And, you know, I think that's kind of like sometimes there's something inside you that says, I've got to do something about this, you know. And I think maybe that might be God's voice.
I like that story. Because we can all picture what that means. I want to go through some of these questions up here, because I'll put something else up on the board. Some of them refer to listening to ourselves, some of them refer to listening to others. I find it's interesting. As a teacher, I find people are programmed. And when I give a group of people a group of questions, what do they do? Where do they start? Which one do they start with?
One they know the answer to.
First one on the board, see? Why not start with the last one or the middle one, okay? Don't be programmed. We all are. So here's the questions, and I'm going to say, what would you like to discuss for a couple of minutes? How can I make a difference? And do I want to? You know, I almost didn't put the last part of up there. Because I hear, it's like, I'm going to live my life, it's my life, and I'm going to go for what I want. Well, when I said, you've got to know who you are and go for it, I didn't mean that you don't want to make a difference, too. And this is the hard part. How can I make a difference, and do I want to? And where do I get the urge to want to make a difference? Why shouldn't I just go for myself? Okay, we'll come back then. Can you decide for me what I believe? Can you? Should you? Are you a risk taker? And maybe, I don't know, this looks like the one maybe that doesn't belong there. I'll just speak briefly to that. Why aren't there easy answers anymore? Those of you who have hair this color probably would have a comment on this. You who are young would say, were there ever equal answers? And do my rights, and this is an important one, do my rights and wrongs have to be yours? Do we have to agree on what's right and wrong? Boy, we did 50 years ago, we had lists, didn't we? I see the nod. We had lists. You don't drink, smoke, dance, play cards. You know, we had a list. We don't have a list anymore. What question do you want to talk about? Yes?
Number five.
Do my rights and wrongs have to be someone else's? How deep do you want to go with this? Do you want to stay with something easy, or do you want to... What do you think?
You could ask along with that, are there ultimate rights and wrongs? I mean, you know, there's more of a question to that than that. And how do we know if there are? And how do we call one another to be accountable without being judgmental? I mean, there's a whole bunch of questions on number five. It's a really interesting question.
If you want a challenge on that one, try to teach the Bible study that I did 2 years ago, or two months ago, on morality. I tell you, I prayed so hard about that. because talk about judgmental. All right, what do you think? Are there ultimate rights and wrongs?
No.
Yes.
You can't go and shoot somebody or something like that, but I mean...
Okay, so what's the ultimate right and wrong of that, or the...
Well, I suppose if you wanted to, I suppose you should.
No, I mean, but you're saying, what is the value here? It's human life. Is that right?
Right, yeah.
So I have to respect...
You, right, yeah, that's right. So, but I think my philosophy is that we're here to learn, and we bring things to us so we can learn. So, what I bring to myself might be right, but wouldn't be right to you, because that's not the thing you've come to learn. Now that's with me.
Okay. Let's take care of what's the ultimate, and then maybe we'll get to some others. What are some ultimate rights and wrongs? And she says, human life. Of course, there's interpretation there.
But certainly there must be exceptions. I mean, a mother defending a child who is being attacked, would it be ultimately wrong for her to kill that person to
no.
save
if
the
you
child?
Didn't hear what she said. She said a mother who's protecting her child, you know, I don't know if you're here, would she, is it okay for her to maybe shoot the attacker?
Yeah. Yeah. It would be legally certain.
Uh-huh. Are there other ultimate rights and wrongs?
Well, I think we have to respect the property of other people, and stealing from other people is a wrong anyway.
How do you know?
Well, we're basically going back to the Ten Commandments.
Okay. The Ten Commandments,
okay,
which one is it?
We get into all sorts of ramifications
right.
That we can do. And
if we need, if we...
Mm-hmm. If my children were starving, mm-hmm. you know, and, I mean, I guess I'd steal. I mean,
sure.
A loaf of bread, or
sure.
I guess I would.
Yeah. How do rules and regulations begin with rights and wrongs? Like it says, 10 o'clock, we have to be quiet here. You know.
That's to the respect of the people.
Basic respect for other people. Yeah. No, and that's why we have these.
Can that be a wrong? If somebody decided they wanted to bang on something at 10:30,
it would be for me if I was listening to it.
I was just trying to make this possible.
I know. It.
If you take a broader perspective on that issue of rights, and you talk about human rights in a worldwide situation, our understanding of human rights, we don't even agree in our own country about what human rights are. That's very obvious, the way we treat each other. But in addition, when we look at other countries in terms of the United Nations, we can't agree there on what their understanding of human rights ought to be. Everybody signs the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, but each nation intends to interpret it in their own cultural way. So it's really complex.
Yeah, but does it have to be?
Does it have to be? Well, who should
decide? So complex that we can't understand have we abolished the Ten Commandments in our society?
They're now the Ten Suggestions.
I didn't hear them.
They're now the Ten Suggestions.
You know, when you talk about maybe there aren't absolute rights or wrongs, then who's to decide? You know what would happen with these two? He's bigger than she is. And when they made this decision, he could have pushed her aside and moved and gotten over there. See? So who's to decide? Who's to decide for you and me what's right and wrong? Why is the abortion issue such, why do we struggle so with that? Because we have some basic beliefs of what's right and wrong. Life is important, isn't it?
Right.
Then why do we struggle with that issue? Is there an absolute in there?
Well, certainly isn't the government's business.
That's right.
Oh, that's right.
It's become that, though, hasn't it?
Yeah. Unfortunately, yes.
Unfortunately.
Well, isn't the sin, isn't the crime committed before it ever gets to the abortion issue? Mm-hmm. If it prevents the situation to begin with, there wouldn't be an abortion issue.
You could say the same about a lot of issues. What about our penitentiaries? Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. It's happened, and here we're preventing. We're not very good at, dealing with it after it happens. We're not very good at prevention. Mm-hmm. Child abuse. Boy, we do a lot of dealing with it, you know. But what is there done to
before?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, every bond issue on education is voted down. So, I mean, what do we expect? I mean, they're going to be...
Yeah, where are our values?
Right. The problem starts before that. Which comes first, the chicken or the egg?
Mm-hmm. And then there's the homosexuality thing that has nothing to do with prevention. Yeah, we can't accept that.
And everybody has an opinion about it. Mm-hmm. Everybody has a view, you know, depending on. As soon as you know someone personally, then all of a sudden the issue becomes different, doesn't it?
Yes.
See? I don't know, we're sure solving this one, are we? So what's the upshot of this? Do my rights and wrongs have to be someone else's, have to be yours?
I think I have to be able to listen to somebody else's understanding of their rights and wrongs. And sometimes I'm going to disagree with them, but I have to be willing to listen to them.
I think this is the crux. This is the crux. Because what I find in my home church, the division is just terrible. See, it's just, here's us and here's them. And they don't have to agree with each other. They don't have to say, well, you're right, okay, I'll give in. But let's listen to each other. And all of a sudden, I find my stand a little bit less rigid. Because I've listened to both sides, and it just amazes me. And I say, I'd be angry too if I'd been treated that way, you know. So let's listen to each other. That doesn't mean I have to. I talked about this yesterday. If I listen to you, I don't have to agree with you. And that's not a bad thing. We think different, we're different people. Different people. Want to say any more about this one? Anybody? We could have a whole class on this one, couldn't we? Yes.
How would the word compromise enter in there? That's most of us kind of sometimes think compromise is a very weak word, but maybe it is stronger than we think.
Is compromise a bad word?
No.
It's a political word.
How many of you think it's a positive word? I just want to see. How many of you think it's negative because you're giving up on...
I think it's positive as long as people know their boundaries and can draw the lines beyond which it is impossible. They're giving something of their own human dignity.
See, you listen to that voice inside you, and you'll have to decide when that voice gets loud enough to say, hey, I can't do this.
Kind of like Martin Luther when he said, here I stand, I cannot do otherwise. And there was a point which he could not.
And there was a point. How many of you are married? How many of you have compromised?
This sums up. Compromise means reconciliation.
Really?
In the context. Uh-huh. It does not mean a bad thing.
Of course, we women do it more than you men. Well, there's compromise here. I keep coming back to this because I think it's such a neat example of, well, you know, let's do it this way, and the compromise. And notice when the compromise happens, if they've been really angry with each other, who's going to give? I mean, neither one of them. They did it when they were talking to each other, when they were getting along. And that's when the compromise means something, because then it's like, oh, you know, no, compromise is a good word.
Isn't there a bit of difficulty that arises, though, in the church on issues like this, because there's always pressure for the church to take a stand on either one or the other side. Mm-hmm. So there can't be a compromise there.
And what? You have to please everybody then?
You have to try to please everybody.
Well, then you have to
come up with a policy at least, whether everybody likes it or not.
That'll last at least until the next convention.
That's right. If you, right.
I guess the majority rules.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or the people who have the most influence.
Yeah. I know. I've been there. I know. The most influence.
I think there is, we need to differentiate the value system here. There is some absolutes we cannot compromise.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like to steal, as an example. Mm-hmm. I mean, Decalogue, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Decalogue.
The Ten Commandments.
The Ten Commandments. But the realization of it, we need to be in the context.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I know Indian tribes in my country that do not know the notion of stealing. Mm-hmm. Everything is of everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
If I need your car, I use your car.
Mm-hmm. But they are considered stealing now.
Now
we put a different connotation on that.
Mm-hmm.
If you come and take my car, you're stealing it. Mm-hmm. But in that society, if you come and take my car, I know you borrowed it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yes.
That's why we have keys and locks on everything, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
But isn't that more like a family or a community that's working together?
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
A large family.
I want to stress this cultural context that he
mm-hmm.
is bringing up.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, even the cultural context, the absolutes are there.
Mm-hmm.
It does not mean to dilute the absolute.
But the example was given of a child that was starving. Would a mother not steal to feed the child?
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
So you said in context. I think
yes.
That's a really important distinction.
Yes.
Putting
yes.
that in the context, so then
yes.
human life takes the precedence.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's good.
When you talk about absolutes, I don't know if this is apropos or not, but in our church, I suppose the Ten Commandments, in a sense, are absolutes. It's what we live by, and what gives us direction and purpose. There's interpretation, of course. And in our country, is it our Constitution? that gives us certain rights, and that's our absolute, so not really, but it's what we're based on.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the Ten Commandments are certainly a guide or a yardstick by which we measure things, but I mean, I live under grace, and I know I'm going to fail on the Ten Commandments at times, but I know that God's grace is going to forgive me, and so I'd rather live under grace than the law, I guess, but we have to have the law, I know that.
Well, that's why it's interesting to see how we interpret law and grace. What do we live under, law or grace?
Yes. But I think with grace, we have the guidelines, the Ten Commandments, and I think with grace, we look at them in a different way. Mm-hmm. But we feel them in a different way because of the grace.
But the forgiveness is there.
That's right.
When we don't live up to them.
But when you talk on a little larger scale, I have a little problem with that. For example, the town that I live in, I'm ashamed to say, is now considering an ordinance or a law which would make it illegal for anybody to live in their car. Obviously, this is a way of getting rid of homeless people who don't have a place to live. And you know of cities that have laws that forbid homeless people to beg or forbid them to be in certain places. They have to move along. Well, what is this saying about our understanding? I think what we're when we keep silent at a time like that, we're saying, that's okay. That's okay. And I think we're saying something about our sense of right and wrong by the way we allow laws to be passed that are, you know, unjust. Mm-hmm. That's just my personal opinion.
The whole system's unjust. I mean, they shouldn't be there in the first place. Right.
There's two ways of looking at people. Let me just say this as quickly as I can. I wrote a course on this. There's two ways of looking at people, and it's the way the system looks at people and the way you look at people when you love them. Mm-hmm. I worked in the school system that says to teachers, okay, you have to put your lesson plans, your textbook, your tests, your schedule, and on and on. This is how they start out the school year. And when you look at kids through all of that, they all look alike. Because this is what you're teaching them. The system does this. And I can see why they're doing it. I can see, you know, I can understand it, but it's what I deplore. We're looking at keeping the system going orderly, you know. Well, people get the shaft because you can't treat all kids alike. As soon as you look at people, you're doing something very different. Then you can get creative. Then you treat them as individuals. And it's a whole new ball game. But these two ways of thinking just don't mesh, just don't match. And I don't know how you fight it except, you know, by your vote, I guess.
Vote, you're speaking up at hearings and so on.
So our Constitution said if our laws aren't for all the people, it's our right, it's our duty to overthrow it.
Do you feel like they're bringing in clones in school, trying to treat children like clones in school?
Oh, yes.
Well, that sort of parallels Huxley's book you wrote down in the 20s, Brave New World. Mm-hmm. They were all alive. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then one of the years, that was 60 years ago. Yeah.
Fortunately, it's impossible.
I know, but they're treating them that way.
No.
But
not just that, because it's my Jesus. That's my thing. Any other questions here? I'll erase them if there's any erasure. I have a
Here it is.
Oh, see, it was right there. Thank you. Okay, let's get on to one of the things that I was going to finish up yesterday when we were talking about ourselves is everything's a trade-off. And if you're not aware of it, you're going to just do things and it's like, well, it was there and I'll do it. Everything is is a trade-off. You give something to get something else. So let's see. Remember, I've never done this before. Take it and run with it, or we'll get on to something else. If I want... Okay, I want a good job. No, I'll make it something else. I want a vacation. I want a vacation. All right, what do I have to give up to get that? Let me, what?
Time.
Time? Mm-hmm. Maybe that's not the best one. I want to get a college degree. You'll understand that one better, won't you? I want to get a college degree. Well, I did. I'm not about to now.
Yeah,
but you want to get a college degree.
Yeah.
What do I have to give up to get it? I mean, this is not an easy decision. I think I'll go to college next week. Not an easy decision because you know you have to give up something. But it's important enough to do that. What are you going to give up?
Money.
Mm-hmm. Interesting that that's the first thing, but it kind of ties you down for the rest of your life almost,
doesn't
it?
Sometimes it's fun and activities that you want to do. You have to give up because you have to work to get the money.
Okay. What was that last one?
Leisure time.
Time.
Energy.
Even if it's a few years since I got my degree, I remember all of these things.
Sleep.
What?
You have to give up sleep if you're going to make it through college.
You mean because you said
I would hope.
I wonder if you know that ahead of time.
Yeah, you might have to postpone a marriage or something like that.
Okay. All right.
Baby.
Or other things, okay? Travel, whatever.
Leisure.
Yes.
You may have to give up the idea that the system owes you a living.
I don't mean a guarantee of a job.
Yeah.
I have to think about that one.
Do you think about that?
It might be a waste of time. Mm-hmm. It might be a waste of time.
Does that come in the process?
Pardon?
No. Does that come in the process?
Probably.
Did you go to college?
You have to have a decision.
Well, I hope so.
It's kind of
you have?
Decision and dedication.
It might have a little bit to do with that guy that's living in the car.
Hmm. Okay. Interesting. A lot of thoughts come. Not an easy decision. All right. When you make a decision like this, it's based on your values. Does everybody go to college?
No.
And they can't or won't for a variety of reasons. You choose to go to college. Why? What are your values?
I'm tired of working on the farm.
What was that?
I'm tired of working on the farm.
But what's the value?
Better position.
See, there's a value here you're talking about.
Position. You want to measure way of life.
Standard.
Okay. What's you want to improve your standard of living. Somebody over here said what?
What's wrong with the way of life on the farm? It could be lovely.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe he's his head instead of his back.
Depending what you mean by it. I mean, it's his decision, isn't it? Mm-hmm. He's saying, I want to improve my standard of living. More money or better? Whatever?
Better use of my abilities.
Okay. Decision. Okay. You're not saying there's something wrong with living on a farm.
No way in the world. There are lots of people, and when I'm happy, they are there.
Okay. I will say more. I hate to, I'm always prompting what you think, and I don't want to do that. What are some other reasons why? What are your values?
Increase your knowledge and your understanding.
So knowledge is important then.
To follow the profession that you want to follow.
Now say a little bit more about that, because this sounds a little cold. I'm going to follow a profession, see, and I'm going to...
Well, I want to be a doctor or a lawyer or a nurse or... And you can't be that unless you go on to higher education.
Okay, well, why do you want to be a doctor or a lawyer or a nurse?
Because that's what I always wanted to be.
Okay.
Good idea.
Is it something, is it your ability, talent that you're talking about?
Yes.
Not his, it's yours, isn't it? Okay, so you're talking about something that drives you, your own interest.
I was going to say develop your talents.
Okay. So follow a profession, but it better be something that you that fits who you are.
That's why they say you're going to have three or four careers in your lifetime if you're a young person looking ahead to the future. Because who you are may change.
How do we help people with that? But that's a whole other issue, isn't it? When I got out of college, I knew I was going to be married, do the same thing for the rest of my life. Aha. I found out. We don't need to tell young people, I think. So, it's with much thought and struggle that you decide you're going to go to school. It's a trade-off. You've given up. Look at all the things you've given up. Money, and it's a lot of money, thousands of dollars a year anymore, isn't it? And boy, you had to work at Burger King for hours and hours and hours, or wherever, to earn that money, and it still doesn't even touch it. So what you're saying is, this is really, really important to me. And you're giving up activities, because you can't go out and spend a weekend doing fun things, because you have to work to earn money. A lot of time, 4 years, 7 years, 8 years, goes on and on. That's a good chunk out of your life. When you stop and think about it, look at the choice you're making. Well, and you do think about it for you. Energy, sleep, postponing some important things, a trade-off. Is it worth it?
Absolutely.
I sure hope so. I think people are questioning today whether it is when they get out of college and say there aren't any jobs. Mm-hmm. What your choices are tells a lot about who you are. See, this is not an exercise in showing that it's a trade-off. It's saying, what are your decisions? When you came to Holden, it was a trade-off. What'd you give up to come to Holden?
Work.
Work? Oh, gee. That's right. I hear some of these young people here saying, I might stay here for a year. You know, I might stay here for a year. They're not earning money. They could be going to school. Guess at why they're saying. This is a trade-off. They're trading a year of their life to stay here where there's no money. So what are their values? What are they? Why are they staying here?
They're giving.
Okay.
Stimulation.
What?
Stimulation.
Stimulate? Oh, is it ever here? Right?
It's an educational atmosphere, I think.
Yes. Yeah. Look what they're gaining.
Well, what happens if you're old and you want to stay here for a year? Trade off would be my wife would divorce me.
That's a big
boy. You have to think about that one. Go, boy.
That would be a hard
decision.
Then you would wash your socks.
That's true.
Well, and I, let's just talk about one. I want. Pretend I'm 22 years old and I want to get married. What should I be thinking about in terms of a trade-off? What am I? Oh, I love this guy. I really love this guy. and we're going to get married and we're going to live happily ever after. What should I think about as, what am I giving up?
Freedom.
Can I do anything I want to when I get married?
No.
No.
Not if the relationship means anything to me.
Independence.
Independence. See? Independence. I can spend my money exactly what I want because I'm footloose and fancy free. Of course, I'm in love and it's like we're going to agree on everything. That's something we're going to get at here in a minute. So, independence. I can't do the things or express myself exactly the way I want to. That's what I'm giving up. What else am I giving up?
Maybe vocation.
Well, I sure did. Guess what happened when I got married? I stayed home and took care of the kids.
Yeah.
My career was on hold, and a lot of people do that.
You get an increase of family relationships.
A what?
You get an increase of family relationships.
Ah, you got an in-law. You got a mother-in-law. Should you look at what your spouse's family is like before you get married?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's what you're getting when you get married. Do you think young people are aware of the trade-off?
No.
They're not. When are you aware that it was a trade-off? Immediately. Right.
But if you knew all the fine print, you'd probably never do it. So. That's
why I thought it was boring. Do you ever read the fine print on things? But they don't say love, honor, and obey anymore, do they?
No.
You didn't know about that, did you?
That's probably an American thing. So it's a trade-off, and we don't know what that trade-off is. But the work that comes with it, you know, you have to say, boy, this is important because look what I'm giving up. And when you say independence, freedom, my say in anything I want to do, that's a pretty big price to give to another relationship. Yes?
I just thought of something. Sometimes it really helps if you have someone who's a good listener. Just listen to what you're saying. And not give you advice. Because sometimes then people do come to an awareness of their own selves of what the trade-offs are without the advice.
Boy, I'd like to underline this 3-4 times, that we're not looking for advice, and you better not be, because I go right back to, you can't tell me what to do.
Yeah,
you just can't. Yeah, no. You can, but if I take your advice and I fall on my face, I'm going to blame you. You know, because you told me. So you can't tell me. So find someone. I hope everybody has someone that'll listen. Because how do I know what I think until I hear what I say?
That's right.
And it's true. It helps you. Marvelous way to get at some of the truth of what you're thinking is. You were going to say.
Well, I was going to say about the same thing. If you have this person who listens and accepts you for who you are and doesn't pass judgment on you, they'll listen and you get it out in the air, and then you can look at it in a different way and move on. If you don't get it out in the air, you just stagnate. Mm-hmm. You just die in some cases.
Yes.
It Boy, has to come out in the air.
Two very important points are made here. Thanks for sharing those ideas. Just to finish us up on listening to ourselves, until we start doing that early on, teenagers really struggle with this because their friends want to do this and their friends are, and it's like, they get it at school from their friends, from their parents, who are they? And we need to encourage people to think for themselves. We don't like them, they're mavericks, you know, they don't they don't fit the pattern, they're not conforming. But unless they do, they're going to have conflict all the time, because then they have two voices inside them. The one that gets kind of drowned out, which is theirs, and the one from out there that they give credence to. You tell me something with that you really believe in, you know, and I'm not sure, I'm going to buy into your ideas. Well, if it's not me, then I'm going to have those voices fighting. Your power is in knowing who you are. That means you have to listen to who you are. If we don't move ourselves, we'll find someone else moving us in directions we don't necessarily want. this is just for, I don't know if this is worth anything, but when you're with people, spouse, friend, who decides which restaurant you're going to? Who decides what the movie is? Do you say, oh, it doesn't matter, you know? And how much of that do you do? If you're married, who decides to buy the furniture, the color of it and all that, and the carpet? Who decides? Who decides when you're going... I thought so. I guess. Who decides when it's time to leave, if you're going together to something? Who decides how the money is spent, if you're in a relationship where that's important? Who decides that? Who decides alone time, music? Where do you draw the line and say, I'm not going to do that? Yes?
Well, as you read there, drawing from my own experience, it's really a mutual agreement. You know, if I like Mexican food, and if Mexican food is too salty for my wife, we don't eat Mexican food.
Boy, you're easy to get along with.
You have to be easy to get along with to get along, I think.
That's a beauty. Gee, where have you been?
Is there any more like you?
Well, that's true. I thought I had more time than I do, but let me put this on the board.
Hey, we're going to do a dating game.
Yeah, there we go.
Okay, take a look at this. This is a scale of 1 to 10. This is a fun thing to do. I remember when I taught parenting classes, I did this sort of thing, and I had a lot of parents, both parents came. And I said, I want you to fill this out and say on a scale of 1 to 10, what are you? Now, there's no right and wrong here. Is it wrong to be messy? Well, it depends on who you are. I'm glad you can't see my room up here right now. So it's just the way we are. Messy or very clean and neat. Spend money. Well, my husband, if he had it in his pocket, he spent it. Me, I mean, it was still there 2 weeks later. And I found myself counterbalancing the spending that he... And that's the growing up that he did and the growing up that I did. So the opposites. Which are you on these? And if one in a relationship is way this way and the other one is way this way, how does it get resolved? Now you talk about being easygoing, easy to live with, see? I don't know everybody that is.
Well, That's only half of it, though.
Oh, okay.
My wife respects what I like and is willing to compromise on my side, too. So I like, I don't like Chinese food, and she does. Well, if Chinese food doesn't bother me any, we'll sometimes go eat Chinese food. And we get along fine.
Do you want to teach this class tomorrow?
You're a good guy.
Because how have you always been that way?
My wife talking.
Just take a look at that. Where do you fit on that scheme of things? I can see where there's, and I've heard, you know, about marriages, and he comes in, throws his clothes down, and puts his dirty clothes on the floor, and she's driven crazy by this because she has to do the laundry, and here they are all out on the floor, and that's his job to pick it up. But, and that can go on, can it, you know?
I knew a couple, and he always complained about the starch in his shirts. You know, his wife did, and this was years ago. And there was never enough starch, and he always complained. And so she thought, you want starch? She made this thick starch. And she did all of his shirts and all of his boxer shorts. And she stood the shirts and the shorts all around.
They walk out by the
shirt. She took the laundry after that.
I said yesterday, you always have options. It's like, what can I do about this now? You know? Well, here's one of the options. What's another option? I mean, this probably wouldn't work. You just have a big fight. What's another option you have?
They can do it himself.
Right.
Send it to a laundry.
What?
Send it to a laundry.
Okay. See, look at all the options. You could send it to the laundry. If you had enough money to do it, you could just send it all out to the laundry. Have him do it himself. What's the problem with having him do it himself?
Wouldn't get done.
Love it, I love it. An honest man.
We talked about compromise earlier, didn't we?
Yeah.
Is there going to have to be compromise in these?
Yeah.
All right. Messy, clean. Who's the one who's going to have to compromise?
The clean.
I think the clean one. Because, what?
Yeah,
who has the problem? The one who has the problem has to figure it out. The messy one, does the messy one have a problem? No, heck no.
But I know people that are so clean, and it's ridiculous. I mean, they can't do anything in their house. I mean,
I know, like, then can you imagine? Can you imagine?
I like behaviors.
Big problems there, aren't there?
Yeah.
Early and late. This is a fun one to do. I won't have time to do it now because it's already time. But how many of you, just out of my own personal interest, have to be early or at least on time? How many of you? Okay. How many of you say, it really doesn't make that much difference? Do you drive people crazy? You who can...
No, I'm very good with you.
Do you drive people crazy?
Probably.
No.
We've learned to live with her after 50 years.
Oh, she hasn't changed. That's an interesting thing, because the people who are early or on time are driven crazy by the people who are late, if they have anything to do with them. At the workplace, somebody comes in late all the time, 5 minutes, and the one who's early, when he comes late, says, what difference does it make? See? And so this relationship, which we have it with our spouses and with our friends, how do we adjust to them? Whose problem is it? How can we compromise? And let's talk. Let's talk early on. I think the bell has rung. Thank you for coming. It's kind of an abrupt way to stop this, but maybe that's all right. Tomorrow it's dealing with listening to events and ideas. So have a good day. The sun is off.
You too.